this morning, we're going to be finishing basically a message that I started last week. We're going to be taking a look here in 1 Timothy in chapter 1, verses 11 to 16. But before we get there, I do want to share a scripture, one scripture with you about the Word of God. I did that last week as well. It's Hebrews 4:12. And Hebrews 4:12 says this. It says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And that's what the Word of God does. So when we think about whether we are getting into the Word of God ourselves or when we are hearing the Word of God preached like we are now, we need to think about that the Word of God, when it goes out, it's active, it's living, it's working. And God wants to work in our hearts and in our minds. He wants our minds to be in alignment with the truth, right? To believe what is true and to reject what's a lie. And he wants us to take in his instructions for our lives, right? And how he wants us to live. And so these aren't merely suggestions that we talk about today when we're going into the Word. They're God's words. They're from him. And so let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we have your Word. It's accessible. It's amazing how accessible it is to us on our phones and, of course, printed in so many different languages. And probably most of us here in America have multiple copies on our shelves. And so, Lord, we are grateful for that. But Lord, just thank you for the reminder that the writer of Hebrews gives us that this is something that we need to really take in and allow you in your Word to have authority over our lives. So, Lord, this morning we just pray that you would help us take it in, to respond in whatever the appropriate way is to respond to the passage today. Lord, we also just want to pray. I just continue to pray every time I'm praying for an end to this government shutdown. And so, Lord, because we just know it affects so many people. And so, Lord, we just pray that that would happen soon. Lord, we just pray that, as we're able to help our neighbors, people that are in need, let you help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus to them. And Lord, this morning, I also just pray that you'd help me to, just fill me with your Spirit, help me to be sensitive to what you want to do, and help me to be clear, help me to be accurate to what your Word says. Lord, we want to lift up to you, Lord, people that are sick in our church. Pray for your healing power there. We pray, Lord, that you would be a very present help to them in trouble. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sorry, my voice is recovering from something. I don't know what it is. I didn't.
World Series? Buckeyes?
No, I mean, I watched the Buckeyes. I really wasn't tied into the World Series, but anyway, there were 7 games. I saw that. Which is, that's a feat. I don't know. I've been fighting something, my voice losing all week in my classroom. So, anyway, this morning we're going to be, like I said, in 1 Timothy 4. I'm going to read the passage of verses 11 to 16 again. If you're able to stand, would you please stand, as is our habit, to read the Word of God. Again, it's in respect out of the Word for God we stand. And this is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of God. Let's have a seat. So, as I said, we started in on this passage last week. And so just real quickly, I'm just going to mention the two points that we made last week. I'm not really not going to comment on them. We see here Paul basically giving Timothy, a young pastor, if you will, who was sent in to address some issues going on at the church at Ephesus. And he's probably, our best guess is between 25 and 35 years old, which is pretty young for someone kind of being in an elder position at that time. And so Paul has some instructions on what he ought to be focusing in on. And because as you could imagine, like when you are brought into kind of a troublesome situation, sort of as a fixer, you might be a little thrown by like, what do we need to focus on first? Of course, he's addressed the false teaching. That'll continue to be addressed as we go through the letter, but he wants him to make sure that he doesn't lose focus on the things that are really important to the church just in general. And so he talks about, you know, how to basically be effective in ministry, and one is through his personal example, right, where he said in verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. And so we went over those. We talked about those different areas. Basically, he's like, you know, Timothy, you need to be an example of godliness to these people. You need to be an example to them. That way, you know, really, even if they think, well, you're just a young guy wet behind the ears, they'll see your life, and that'll have an effect. And then the second point, which is basically where we ended, was with the effective ministry is going to come through the word. And where he was told to command and teach these things in verse 11, not only the things that just preceded that, but I really think it does include the other instructions in the letter about how the church is to be run and who's to be in leadership and how that works. And so he wants them to command and teach these things. And then in verse 13, he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. So we see the word, the importance of word ministry in the life of a church. It really is central. You know, and I've always been a person who, I shouldn't say always, I would say since becoming a pastor, I've tried to, in my own life, realize that we should be a church of the word and a church of the spirit. It's not an either or, it's a both and. Some churches are known for very strong on the word, but you know, nobody talks about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes then you get other churches where all they talk about is the Holy Spirit. The word has really not a lot of central place to it. And I think that we need to be both, right? And so I pray the Lord would help us to be more faithful in both. And so here he's talking about the ministry of the word. But you know, the Holy Spirit inspired the people that wrote the word, right? And so it just makes sense that we need both. We know the Spirit of God working, right, as well as the public proclamation, the commitment to the word of God, right? All right, so that leaves us really to the next thing, our next point, our new point, right, for today. And that is one of the instructions Paul has for Timothy for effective ministry. He says, it needs to be through spiritual giftedness. He needs to make sure he's ministering and using his spiritual gift. And we made mention of some of this earlier in the book because there was a connection to this earlier in the book of 1 Timothy. But let me just remind you here of the verse at hand. He says, do not neglect the gift you have. And now, you know, just I don't want to assume anything, but you know, it doesn't mean that somebody sent him a present. It really just means that this is talking about spiritual gifts, Okay? And so Paul wants Timothy to not neglect the gift that he had, that Timothy has. And then he says, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. And when we first mentioned this earlier in the book, we said, you know, there was a moment when in a sense, Timothy was commissioned and they laid hands on him. And the best we can figure is that some sort of prophecy was given about him. Maybe it was confirming his ministry and what he would be doing. Maybe it was confirming a giftedness he had that God was giving him. Maybe it was teaching. We know there's a lot of speculation. It's limited what we know. We just know that some prophecy was given when they laid hands on him. And so, obviously, if that happened to you, think about that, that it would be important for you to remember that, right? Because you realize that was God's, in a sense, God's calling on his life too, and also confirmation from him. I shared this a long time ago in this church, but years ago, I had a conversation with the guy that led me to Christ, and it was about when I was wondering if I should plant a church or not, because I'm like, you know, I'm not your normal church planter, charismatic person, or entrepreneur. And so I was just wondering about it. But I did feel like I was laying it on my heart, but I did want to get counsel, and I think that's what we should do, right? I just remember him saying, and I don't even know if he remembers this, but I remember him saying this. He goes, just be as sure as you can, because when you do it, and the times get tough, you need to have that assurance that God has called you to do this so that you stay the course. And I think that was godly advice. And I think that what we see with Timothy here was that when they laid hands on him and some prophecy was given about his giftedness, I think for him, I would just imagine that he needed to be reminded of that day, that when things got difficult, when things got hairy, that he was like, you know what? This is tough stuff. But God is with me, and he's gifted me to do this. And what he calls you to do, he gifts you to do. And we need to remember that. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in the ministry as a vocation or not. We're, you know, our church believes that everybody's called to ministry in the sense that we're all to be using our gifts. We are all ministers in that sense. And so it's very important for us to realize that, okay, God's given us gifts. And some things I want to mention about that, because I thought, you know, since this is a two-part message, now I can include some things that I threw on the threshing floor the first time I prepared this message, which happens sometimes. You have stuff that you can't include, but I wanted to share this with you guys. I want to look at a couple verses here in 1 Peter. There's many places we could go to talk about spiritual gifts, and this is not meant to be at all a comprehensive topical presentation of spiritual gifts, okay? So you just got to realize that. I'm looking at just what these two verses say, and they say a lot, actually. 1 Peter 4, 10, 11 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever. And so, couple things I want to mention about here in this spiritual giftedness area when it comes to just all of us, right? So kind of dovetailing off Timothy's specific instruction, I want to talk about our spiritual gifts. Every Christian, right, receives the Holy Spirit the moment they believe. And every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. All right. And so what I want to share with you from these verses here It's just, some of it's kind of obvious, right? When you see that verse 10, as each has received a gift. So you shouldn't be saying, well, I just don't have a gift, right? No, you have a, if you're a Christian, if you've put your faith in Jesus, right, you have a gift, a spiritual gift, right? And so each person has a gift. And then here it says, use it to serve one another. So that tells us, well, our gifts are there to be used. We're not supposed to kind of just sit on our hands and not use the gifts that God has given us, the spiritual gifts. And so now, it's at this point I want to say, you know, a lot of people are like, well, how do I know what my spiritual gift is or spiritual gifts are? And there are certainly spiritual gifts assessments that you can take, like inventories that have you answer questions, and then you end up with some results that indicate what some of your giftings might be based on those things. I think those can be helpful, but they're not definitive, by the way. Okay, those are man-made. And of course, anything that man gets involved with is going to be somewhat flawed. I mean, I think they're well-intentioned, so I don't want to totally poo-poo that, okay? But I really like, I did some reading this week. I did a lot of reading this week, but some reading in, retired Pastor John Piper has said, and some of what retired pastor, I guess I read a lot of retired people, Sam Storms said about like discovering your spiritual gifts. They both had something, kind of had a similar vein. They were like, you know, don't obsess about trying to be about discovering it. What they both said was basically like, I think what you need to do is, because your gifts are going to be about other people. They're going to involve other people, helping them, speaking to them, whatever, okay? And so their counsel was basically, why don't you see the needs around you, the people that you're around, and, you know, if you see a financial need, you know, if you're wondering if you have the gift of giving, then why don't you try giving and helping them out, see how that works, right? And some people are just literally, I would say, a conduit for God financially, okay? And so, serving. When you see somebody needs help, right, and you're able to serve, try helping them out. See how that goes. And it's really about the effect that it has, right? Because hopefully you feel the Spirit of God working through you as you're using those things. And I think it, a lot of times you do. And so I guess the idea here is just get out there and get involved in people's lives, serve them, help them, pray for them, share their word with them. And because these are all intertwined with the different gifts, right? When you see the listing of the spiritual gifts in the scriptures, all the lists are, there's some overlap, but there's some different. So, you know, whether you have the gift of helps or the gift of teaching, gift of mercy, gift of encouragement, I don't know what it is, but it's always going to involve other people. And so I think the advice of just getting in there and getting involved in people's lives and praying that God would help you see how you could be a part of their life to serve them in some way. And again, that service might be the Lord gives you something in your quiet time that week that you feel like relates to them and you would want to encourage them with the word, right? I mean, that could be a gift of teaching or a gift of encouragement or both coming through, right? So again, I'm just taking the tack of let's not get so obsessed with like taking an inventory and saying, you know, thus saith the Lord are my gifts, right? And again, it's okay to take the inventories. I find that a lot of times people like they want a certain gift. And so when they take the inventories, they're like, they kind of bias it. I think that's a gift of teaching. I want to say that, you know, whatever. And so you just got to realize that, right? Okay. I found most helpful what some people have put out as just descriptions of some of the gifts, to the best of your knowledge, based on the words that are used. And just reading through those, you know. So anyway, does it make sense what I'm saying? Like, it's not wrong to do the assessments that you can find, like some online or whatever. But I think just some people could be so paralyzed by, like, because they don't know what it is, that they don't do anything. Just get involved, serve in whatever way. And I think really just more importantly, just pray. Pray for God to really just say, God, I want you to use me. I want you to use how you've made me. I want you to use how you've gifted me, even if I can't put a label on it. And I want you to use me in my friends' lives. I want you to use me in my church's lives. And I just say, watch what happens. And as God opens up opportunities, then you engage, you share, you speak, you serve, you pray for, you whatever. Okay? And so we just need to get out there and trust God and let him use us, right? That's the amazing thing. We get to, I remember when I was, you know, when I took a leadership training course at a Vineyard church. I mean, I've never been a member of a Vineyard church, but many of you, there's a whole story there, but I took some training there. It was very helpful for me. But one of the things I noticed about that particular church was the emphasis that everybody, they use this word, everybody gets to play. And what they meant by that was everybody's involved in ministry. Everybody is, we're all involved in what God is doing. And so, you know, we just don't wait for somebody professional to do it. You know, God has gifted you and he's empowered you and he has the Spirit in you and just let him use you. Amen? That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. So each one has received a gift, and we need to use our gifts. And I don't have the verse up here, but you might want to write this down. Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul's writing again, and he's wanting to use his gifting to encourage the Romans' faith. Listen to what he says for Romans 1, 11 and 12. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. And that is, that we may mutually be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." I love that. I love that phrasing, because that's what it is. That's ministry. Ideally, within the body of Christ, right? Mutually encouraging one another's faith. And I believe that's what happens when we operate and use our gifts for the glory of God. It mutually benefits our faith. Okay? And that's what Paul was wanting to do there with the Romans. So, now, it's also kind of interesting here as you look at verse 11 in 1 Peter that you see he says, whoever speaks, you know, should speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. I mean, when I read those things, I kind of think about, you know, whatever your gift is, whatever category it might be in, just do it to the glory of God with all you have with his strength, right? So if you've got a serving gift, then man, do it with the strength that he supplies. And if you've got a speaking gift, you do it as if you know you're delivering the words of God, right? And so it is kind of interesting that he does kind of like, he doesn't do a gift list here. I think really, this is just my opinion now, I think he's kind of giving categories. He's like, some people have kind of a speaking area gift, some people have a serving area gift. Just my opinion. I wouldn't go to the wall for it, but I just think that, you know, there are speaking gifts, teaching and so on, and then there are serving gifts and mercy and all those things come. You could probably put them in categories, but I think the idea is that when he comes to the very end of it. So I guess the idea is when we look there, my opinion is we see word-oriented gifts and deed-oriented gifts, okay? The last thing I want to mention in here in this 1 Peter thing about gifts and our spiritual gifts is that the goal, and I kind of just mentioned it a second ago, the goal in God giving us spiritual gifts and the faith to exercise them is so that the glory of God might be on display. You see that here? He says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, and that's the end of everything anyway. That's why we do anything, is for his glory. It's for him. And so just remember that, right? Our gifts are not about us. Our gifts are all about him. And our gifts are to be for the body, right? For the benefit of the body. Benefit of the body. And this is why, this is one of those things where when people talk to me, or I hear people sometimes when they say, well, you know, I'm really not going to be involved in the local church because, you know, those things are corrupt and they're imperfect and I've been burnt. And maybe they have, and certainly they're imperfect, right? But the thing is, you cannot be an obedient Christian and not be in a local church. Like, unless there's some physical reason why you can't go to be a part of a body, which some people I know are in that situation. I get that, okay? But you can't use your gift, well, typically, right, all alone somewhere. It needs to have an effect. Okay, yes, you could write encouraging emails. Yes, you could pray for people. Yes, you can call people. I know there's exceptions, but listen, that's not meant to be the norm, okay? You're going to use our gifts. It needs to be in that local church. And not that somebody can't have a gifting that affects, you know, many churches or, you know, I think about missions agencies, right, that they just affect many, 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 many places. And praise God for that, right? So, all right. So I just thought it was worth kind of looking a little bit about spiritual gifts since we're talking about Timothy's and so on. But Paul wants him to make sure he is really operating there in his gifting. And then what we see here in verse 15, right, is just effective ministry through diligence, right? How do we get that? Well, let's look at the verse again. Let's look at verse 15. He says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. I think that last bit really just ties in with him trying to address the let no one look down on your youthfulness, right? You just show them by your life and by your ministry that, you know, show them your progress, right? And so he wants Timothy to make sure that he gives himself to the things he just said. Word ministry, using his giftedness, you know, being an example. He wants him to give himself to those things. Practice these things. And when you immerse yourself in something, you are focused. You are focused, right? And so this is just a good reminder that we need to make sure that we're about the things that God's calling us to do. And, you know, I think that, you know, for each of us that, you know, you kind of have to figure out what that is, right, in terms of your gifting and using your gifts in ministry and so on in the church. But we need to make sure that we're keeping those things in our focus and being diligent, right? Diligence means careful, persistent effort and devotion to those things, right? That's what we need to make sure we're doing. I think about the whole idea, and again, one of the main thoughts that keeps weaving itself through this passage is Timothy being an example. When I first became a Christian, how much I became aware of the fact that people, once they knew I was a Christian, I became aware of how much they were watching me. It was really quite concerning. When I lived in a suite of 16 guys, God help us. I don't know who thought that up at Ohio State University, but it was, they don't do that anymore. They put us in this pod, and there's in this pod, you walk in, there's four, think about a pie slice. Take a pie slice like that and split it into four pieces. Four people in a pod. One big bathroom, right, in a common area. And I got saved in that environment, praise God. And, but one time, I lost my cool. Imagine that. You know, my flesh just reared its head, and somebody said, "You're a Christian. You can't do that." I'm like, "Well, you don't know much about being a Christian, do you?" You know, so, and I was pretty young anyway, chronologically and spiritually. And I just said, "Well, you know, I actually apologized, which is what I should have done." And so I did, by the grace of God, apologized and said, "You know," and so I explained, you know, what you've probably heard many people say times over. You know, Christians aren't perfect, but they are forgiven. And that's what they have, a relationship with Christ, and we're trying to pursue following Jesus, and we stumble and fall. It, you know, the fact that I just sinned against you, person in the dormitory, means I need Jesus, and so do you. And so, but just thinking about the example, you know, thinking that others are watching, and so needing to be an example. And certainly parents, right, are just like the quintessential example of needing to be an example to the best of our ability. But again, it also lends itself as a parent to confession and repentance to our children as needed, to confess that's why we need Jesus and that's why you need Jesus too. And I mean, the gospel can be in all of that, you know, if you know, when you mess up as a parent. And so but we still want to shoot for, right, being an example, teaching our kids just by the way we live what it looks like to live the Christian life, by the power of God. Last thing here, verse 16, effective ministry through balance. Effective ministry through balance. And the verse 16 says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, so by doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. I have this verse. I think my wife actually wrote it for me. She knew it was one of my favorite verses because certainly as a pastor, it was like, okay, watch yourself, right? And watch your teaching. And like, I try to remind myself that those are the important things. My own life, my own walk, and am I telling the truth? Am I speaking the truth? Am I being true to the scriptures, right? And so you have that balance of your personal life and your public life, and that's what, you know, Paul's telling Timothy. Watch yourself. Make sure that your private life is matching up with who you are publicly. And that is, you know, there's always a lot of temptation when you're always like up front or you're kind of the lead on something, doesn't matter what it is, to kind of let, you know, to put on a persona of like, you got it all together, or you've got, you know, you don't make any mistakes or whatever. There's a temptation to kind of cover. And I find it just doesn't fly. People aren't very easily fooled. And I think about this because I learned this in the classroom. You can't fake students. If you think that you know what you're talking about and you don't go there. I made that mistake one time. I'm like, I think I can work this out on the fly. It was the most miserable 15 minutes up at the board I think I've ever experienced as a teacher. I should have just said from the beginning, I'm not sure how to do that. I'll get back to you. So from now on, when I get a problem and I get stuck, first of all, I turn around and says, anybody got any idea what to do here? And then if we strike out, I say, I'll get back to you on that. But again, the idea of like, don't pretend, right? Be authentic. I think, you know, Paul's telling Timothy, keep a watch on yourself because, you know, the enemy can get you going off the mark, right? I'm going to read something to you I found here that relates to this. Timothy's faithfulness in his own walk with Jesus and his sound doctrinal teaching have an eternal impact. Did you see that? It says, "For by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." And that messed with my brain for a little bit as I was thinking, what does that mean, right? Certainly, he doesn't save anybody, right? Jesus saves. But what does he mean? And so, let me just speak to that. Jesus alone saves, but this is an exhortation to perseverance and godliness. And he will save his hearers from the dangers of false teaching, which can cause the shipwreck of some people's faith. Haven't we read earlier in the letter people who shipwrecked their faith because they bought into the false teaching? It is like, Timothy, watch your life and watch your teaching so you don't go down that path and take all these people off the cliff with you. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And so we have to be careful. Leaders have to be careful. Again, you know, when leaders or, you know, even think about parents again, when they stumble and fall and like off the cliff spiritually and stop following Jesus or whatever, or say they don't even believe in Jesus anymore and all this stuff, that affects many people. So many people. And it does really shipwreck some people's faith. And they decide they're going to jettison the faith too. I think that's what he's saying. So it doesn't matter if you're just one person and you've got one person that you're discipling, whether you've got your little tribe at home, we need to pray. We got to watch our hearts. Watch over it, it says, with all diligence, right? For from it flow the springs of life. We got to watch to make sure that what we're teaching really is the truth. We can't go with like, you know what, this just sounds right when I'm teaching. I don't care how it sounds. It doesn't matter how it sounds. I mean, you know, there is a way that seems right to a man, and its way is the end of is death. You can't go with what sounds right. It has to be lined up with the scriptures, rightly understood. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words today. Thank you for the reminder about spiritual giftedness. Of course, Paul speaking to Timothy about his to be reminded of that. But Lord, help us to just see that you've given us a gift. You have a purpose for us within the church. Regardless of what the gifting is, and help us, Lord, just to be about wanting to be used by you. And Lord, as I mentioned earlier, let our prayer be, Lord, use me to encourage other people's faith in my church family and in my small group or in my ministry area, whoever it might be, Lord, help me to be someone that has the effect that when we're operating in the power of your Spirit, that we would be encouraging one another's faith. And whether we can, you know, and so Lord, I just pray that we'd be open to speaking into one another's lives. If the Spirit prompts us to share a scripture or share something with one another or pray over someone or whatever, Lord, help us to be available to be used.